So, without any further ado, ladies and gentlemen, the wonderful Laura Angie.
Thanks, Ben. Hi, I'm Angie. I'm a woman in recovery. 19 years, it's a long time. I've been trying to remember my the first time I knew about alcohol. And the thing that sticks in my mind is one Christmas when my dad wrecked the living room. He threw the tree across the room and broke things. And I always thought that I just thought he was in a bad mood for something. But he's an alcoholic and he'd done that because he wanted a drink and he didn't have the money or my mum wouldn't give him the money. So I grew up thinking, why didn't he just stop? What? It's a choice to drink. I always thought that. I never understood it. When I got older, he did go to one AA meeting, but it wasn't for him, so he never went back. But I believe he stopped drinking a few years ago now, a good few years ago. And I'm sure life was better for everyone because of that. I went into a pub to go drinking when I was 13 because I looked 18. So, although it did take a lot of years, I'd never, I grew up swearing that I'd never drink because of I realised what it had done to my dad. But I was really shy and awkward, and drink gave me confidence. So yeah, I loved getting drunk. But then I babysat for my cousin's neighbour, and the husband came home early and tried it on with me, but he'd give me like a half pint cup full of all these different spirits, and I was really drunk. And I remember stumbling back round to my cousin's house. I fell into the bushes and stuff, but I just had to get away from that man. And after that, I didn't drink for a few years because it scared me. Then I met my ex. Now ex-husband when I was 16, and we got married when I was 17 and he was 19, and emigrated to Australia because that's where he'd grown up, so he still had the visa, so we had to get married for us both to go. And I really wanted to go. I wanted to get as far away from my parents as possible. And I loved it. I loved living in Australia. I was there for about 3.5 years. And my eldest daughter, Laura, was born there. And there was, we did drink quite a bit and smoke quite a lot of weed. But my ex-husband was more for the weed and I was more for the beer. I remember one morning waking up thirsty and wanting a cold drink, and I went to the fridge and opened, got a little bottle of beer and started drinking that. And I thought, shit, I'm just like my dad, drinking first thing. So I shocked myself, and then I stopped drinking for a while. Then we came back to England and I divorced him because he was a horrible man. And I didn't want to be married to him anymore. And then not long after we came back to England, I got together with my now ex Ian, who I was with for 15 years. And we had Two more children, Paul and Shannon. And I was, even I worked, I always worked, and even then I was always skint, and Ian always had loads of money. I look back on it now and cringe at myself. I never stood up for myself. I think it's called financial abuse. I had to get bank loans out for Christmas presents for the kids because he wouldn't spend any of his Christmas bonus or anything really on them. And I'm glad I'm rid of him. It's a lot of years now. I think it's about, actually, it's about, it was around the time I got sober. So it's 19, 20 years since I was with Ian. So I'm surprised it still affects me sometimes, but I think I just look back in disbelief and I can't believe I put up with that because I never would nowadays. I'd never put up with anything like that. My parents have always been, they were always a big part of my life. When the kids were younger, they looked after them quite a bit and, picked them up from school and stuff. And then they moved, my mum and dad moved to the seaside and we didn't see them as much, but the kids still went and visited. And it was all good. They enjoyed it. Until my little sister Lynn started having kids. And Lynn was the golden child, so her and her kids got everything they asked for, and mine were just told to piss off or stop being greedy or whatever. When they saw Lynn's kids getting stuff, they wanted it as well. So I stopped talking to them. If they rang up for the kids, I'd just hand the phone to the kids. I never stopped the kids having a relationship with their mum and dad. And my mum I told her I had a spare bedroom. She was welcome to visit, but she stopped visiting. She stopped coming over. And I know part of that was because she'd always promised to do things with Lynn's kids. And that's what made them happy, to be around them. And then earlier this year, I'd stopped being angry at my mum and dad quite a while ago now because I just needed to let it go, and I did. It just happened. It was lifted. So I'd rang them and I'd been speaking to my mum quite regularly and it was lovely. And I think the last conversation we had was in July or August. And I'd said, love you. And she said, love you too, which was a lovely last conversation. She had, I don't know if it was COPD or just it's something bad with the lungs. She was on oxygen all the time. And in, I might get the months mixed up now. Think it was around the beginning of September. My mum died. And that was really weird, especially because I'd think of things to say to her and want to ring her up, and I couldn't anymore. But a couple of days after she died, I did ring up and speak to my dad, and he was really upset. And he just said, "I want things to be back how they used to be." Then he hung up on me, but it wasn't awful. It was just sort of speaking from his heart. But and he'd always said that he couldn't live without my mum, and well, then he couldn't, about a month later after my mum died, my dad died. So it was really weird, and there was no funeral because they donated their bodies to medical science, except for my dad couldn't because he had to because he was found dead, so they had to do an autopsy and stuff, so he was just straight to cremation. My younger sister is organising a memorial service for them. There's three of us and three sisters. And me and my sister Jane are not invited to the memorial service because my little sister doesn't like us. So we've no idea when it is or when whether it already has been. But I've had to get a solicitor involved because we want some sorry about that. We want some sentimental things of my mum and dad's. And I don't know if we'll get them. But it's horrible, having to cope with that. And it'll be the first Christmas without them, so I'm not ringing them on Christmas Day and stuff like that. Which I keep thinking in a panic, it's only a week away. But in a way, I feel like a grieving mum and dad for years because of not being in contact with them. Because I wasn't that bothered about them treating me like crap because I'd grown up with that. I was used to it. But for my kids, their grandkids and great grandkids, they didn't make any, they didn't want anything to do with them. They never made any effort for a phone call or anything. So it just feels strange. Even though I was back in contact with them, there was still my daughters were still angry at them. But it's just feels strange to be an orphan at my age. Sorry, when I stopped drinking, I went to a meeting and saw some people, and they were talking about what their lives were like nowadays and what their lives used to be like. And I just thought they were liars because, these well-dressed, well-spoken people were talking about being homeless and getting drunk in parks and stuff. And I thought they were lying, but then I thought, well, I'm not really a proper alcoholic because I never did any of that. But I'm glad I got into AA and I jumped in with both feet, going to meetings early and greeting people and setting up the rooms and just doing whatever I could. I just wanted to be part of everything, and I was at a meeting most nights and sometimes during the days too. And I just soaked it all up, I went to conventions and stuff. The kids couldn't understand it at first because, I didn't spend a lot of evenings with them. I was at meetings. But when they saw that I was getting better and I was becoming a nicer person, they kind of understood a bit more. And it's lovely nowadays, with things happening like people dying. I don't think of a drink. I mean, there is some booze in the house, but that's my son's, and I'm going to buy some more because he's coming over on Christmas Day. So, that don't bother me anymore. But I've put off buying sweets for the kids for Christmas because I'll eat them. It's weird how much it's like I was with booze. If it was there in the house and I knew it was there, I would drink it. And I'm like that now with sweets and chocolates. I just eat them and eat them. And there's other things I'm like that with. So I do think I've got an addictive personality. And that's something I've had to accept about myself, that the addiction's going to come out in one way or another. And I should be going over to my daughter's on Christmas Day to give the grandkids the presents, but I've messaged her and she's not got back to me yet, so I don't know if I'm going over. I mean, I don't see why not. But that's made me, it's given me sleepless nights because, well, I know my son's coming over on Christmas Day, so that'll be lovely. But it'll be lovely to see the grandkids, and I hope that I do. I've got presents for them already. And for New Year, I've not made my mind up yet what I'm going to do. I mean, my daughter has a party, but I've not been invited for the last few years because the kids like it to be a family thing. And I mean, I'm family. But I don't know. She said I go over there too much. I mean, I know the girls are the twins, they're 13 now. And when they were born, I was at Laura's house all the time because her husband worked shifts. So I'm used to going over to Laura's house every day to help with the girls. And now I suppose it's not needed as much. I feel a bit lost. But that's something else I've got to accept. So I was thinking of going off to the seaside for New Year's, going to Blackpool for a few nights. It's nice to be able to do things like that nowadays, just going off on holiday when I want, and then when my passport comes through, I'll be able to go to warmer climates. It's lovely to just please myself and go wherever I want, really, without thinking that I've got to make sure that I can buy some booze or planning to have doing nothing for a day because I know that I'll be hungover. I remember my first sober Christmas. We just bought a house, and I'd had the windows double glazing done, but I had French doors put in instead of the windows at the back of the living room. And we were sat there opening presents, and it started snowing outside. So that was lovely. It was like a perfect first Christmas. And my first New Year, went to a party, and we went to somebody's house that was on top of a hill, so we could see all the fireworks and at midnight. And I remembered everything the day after that I'd done, which was a lot different to my previous New Year's. And since then, I've done things like go to the Buddhist center for New Year's, and I've been to the seaside for New Year's before. It's lovely to be able to do things without being drunk, without having to put up with drunk people. I like the way my life is nowadays, so thank you, everyone. I'll leave it there.